Hello, you people that are out there in wherever land. You never know where people are joining us here from the Jericho Center, in particular the Watchman Training Center in the Jericho Center. Well, we have been in a series called Practical Prayer, and there are 12 major steps of prayer that are a part of the book that God allowed me to author some years ago, The Hour That Changes the World, guiding people into how to spend an hour even every day in prayer, or certainly 1 hour a week as a watchman on the wall, of course, 168 hours in a given week. And so in an area when we fill up all 168 hours with people praying toward the same objectives, in harmony, at least in the focus of their prayer, they may not be together physically, but we know that that prayer has the power to transform that region or any region of the world. And so we've been in this series of 14 lessons. We come now to session 8 of the 14 in this theme, practical prayer, how we make prayer practical. And when we finish, you will have a good solid overview of the 12 steps. And these 12 steps easily help a person grow into praying even up to an hour a day or more. I might mention to you that since last we met, I personally had a little bit of an accident. And it's kind of interesting, the accident I had, because you can't see it, but underneath my sweater, my ribs are wrapped, because we had that freak snowstorm. By the way, you can have freak snowstorms in Colorado in July, so at least where we live at 7,500 feet. And I had explained, because the driveway was so slippery, I had explained to my wife very carefully and her mother, who stays with us, how you're supposed to walk on ice, because I saw this on TV. And, I don't know whether it was an hour after I explained this to them or 2 hours that I actually slipped on the ice. I wasn't paying attention. And I mean, I hit hard. At first, I thought I was a goner. Could not even breathe, and I was laying out there thinking, when is someone going to come out and find me? Slammed my head really hard, and my wife said for the first time in our marriage, I started making sense since I hit my head. But I didn't have to go to the hospital. Later I did, but I'm standing here with a broken rib, and that can be very painful, but for reasons I cannot explain. I know I saw the doctor showed me everything about it and which rib it was, but right now I feel no pain whatsoever, so I thank you for your prayers. And but it was thinking about my broken rib. I said to the doctor, if you take it out, can I get a new wife? No, don't. No, because I don't want a new wife. But that reminded me of Adam, before he had Eve out in the garden, and he was kind of moping around. I mean, he named a few animals, and he was doing okay, but suddenly he was terribly, terribly lonely, and so he cried out to God, please, God, can't you give me a helpmate? And God responded by saying, okay, Adam, look, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a woman, and she's going to be the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. She'll love you passionately. She'll wait hand and foot on you, do absolutely anything you want. She'll actually be your love slave. And Adam said, Lord, what's this going to cost me? And God said, well, Adam, it's going to cost you an arm and a leg. And he thought for a few minutes and said, what can I get for a rib? So, a few of you got that. So I thought of that when I thought about my rib thing here. But enough of this. We want to move into the teaching this morning. However, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so there's nothing wrong with a chuckle or two. You know, sometimes I've been in prayer and humorous things have happened. I mean, like that one time I still remember, and I said, you know what, God? And he said, yeah. You know, and then you'll start laughing at what you, You get so excited, you say, oh, God bless you, God. I don't know how that works. But there are joyful things that happen. And one of the joyful things is that when we begin to pray, we start seeing answers because of something happening within us and the faith that is being built up. And I think this happens. Some people wonder why we sometimes see so many unusual answers to prayer. Well, let me tell you, the more you pray, the more answers you'll see. And when you begin to have a daily consistent time alone with the Lord, I guarantee you, you'll start having answers to prayer. It was just like George Mueller, that great faith apostle, if you want to call him that, in the latter 1800s, recorded all his answers to prayer, and someone later added up the number in his journals. And do you know that when he died at 93 years of age, they counted something like 53,000 answers to prayer. Now, you don't have 53,000 answers if you don't pray much. But now I want to talk about steps 7, 8, and 9 of the 12. And it begins, step number 7 is petition. Step number 7 is petition. Say petition. Petition. And the basic definition of each of these, and you can fill in your notes and your worksheets, is the act of personal supplication. The act of personal supplication. Now, supplication, if you were to look it up in the dictionary, means simply to ask humbly and earnestly. This is not in your notes, and I just was looking this up last night. To ask humbly and earnestly, or to make a humble entreaty. It's the act of personal supplication. I give each of these 12 steps an action focus, and the action focus for this is personalized desires. Personalized desires, or we could say it, personalizing desires. It's sharing, articulating, putting words to my needs before the Lord, and it's as simple as asking. And the key word here, because it has an element of faith attached to it, is the word expectation. I expect something to happen. I would not ask if I did not expect something to happen. Periodically, I share voices from the past in our teaching. And this comes from Charles Spurgeon, great man of God around the turn of the 19th and 20th centuries. Whether we like it or not, asking is the rule of the kingdom. It is a rule that will never be altered in anybody's case. If the royal and divine Son of God cannot be exempted from the rule of asking that he may have, you and I cannot expect to have the rule relaxed in our favor. Even God becoming man, and when he was man, he was totally man, had to ask. And one of the premier qualities of everything about the life of Jesus was that his life was a life of prayer. So asking is the rule of the kingdom, and you see this in passages. We have included these in your notes. And by the way, if you see something in a passage when I'm reading it that you think jumps out at you, just circle it or underline it. But this comes from the New King James Version, verse 9 of Luke 11. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. I've often spoken in schools of prayer and other settings that the it of our praying is terribly important. What is our focus? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find it. The word it isn't included in the text, but it's clearly implied. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Look at the same passage in the Message. Now, the Message, of course, is a paraphrase, but it's a wonderful paraphrase, and it takes the original writings and puts them in the vernacular of our day, and here's what the Message says. Here's what I'm saying. Now, Jesus is speaking. Ask and you'll get, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will open. Don't bargain with God, be direct. Ask for what you need. In a moment, I'll give you an illustration of that highlights this very clearly. Mark 11:24. This was the occasion where a fig tree had dried up because Jesus cursed it. I won't get into all the theological explanation of that, except that his disciples marveled at the faith of Jesus and the authority that he had. And that's when Jesus said, you can have this same authority, have faith in God, and you can speak to mountains and they'll be moved. And then he says at the conclusion of that dialogue, I tell you, you can pray for anything. And if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. Mark 11:24 in the Message. Now sometimes I'll share from two different translations or paraphrases so you catch a little bit more of the meaning. That's why, now Jesus is speaking, that's why I urge you to pray for absolutely everything, ranging from small to large, include everything as you embrace this God life and you'll get God's everything. Another wonderful passage. Now, listen for just a moment. Why do I stand up in front of groups all over the world and keep hammering away of these principles, these thoughts, the illustrations, the stories? Why? Everybody smile. Because my desire is to see you become an intercessor. Maybe you already are, and then it's to see you do two things. One, become a stronger intercessor, and two, mobilize other intercessors. I am convinced, and you'll discover this by the time we finish this whole series, and I talk about the Watchman Wall here, and I talk about walls of prayer all over the world, that the church throughout the world right now is on the threshold of the greatest movement of focused prayer that this world has ever seen. And that's going to lead to the greatest harvest this world has ever seen, and it's already begun. And how many want to be a part of it? We all do. Philippians 4, 6 and 19. Now, some years ago, I selected out what I thought were the seven greatest, most inspirational chapters in all the Bible for the content of those individual chapters, and Philippians 4 was one of them. And you come to verse 6, and here's from the New Living Translation. Don't worry about anything. How many violate that directive once in a while? Don't worry. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. That's petition. And thank him for all that he has done. We'll talk about Thanksgiving later. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. James 4, verse 2 is a verse I find myself quoting often to people who I know simply they have acknowledged to me they don't have a prayer life. They love the Lord, they do. Well, you might say, how can they really love him if they don't spend time with him? I believe in their spirits, they really do love the Lord, but they haven't pursued the intimacy that he has for them. And it is out of this intimacy that things happen. And James chapter 4, verse 2, it says, yet you do not have because you do not ask. A lady once told me, had been in one of our seminars, that she had had a dream. I think it was just prior to coming to that seminar. And in that dream, she was taken into heaven and the Lord was showing her around. And she passed this big mammoth, looked like an auditorium. And everything was so beautiful, but here was this giant place, and it was as they passed the only and the main entry to that large, vast area. On the door, it simply said, unanswered prayers. And she said, Lord, what's that? And he said, I'll show you. And she said, it opened up, and I saw shelves and acres of things like even a new kidney and a new heart and a bicycle. And all these different things. And she said, what on earth is all this? And Jesus said, these are all unanswered prayers. That people just never really sought me for the release of what I wanted to give them. Now that was only a dream. But in absolute reality, if asking is the rule of the kingdom and we don't ask, we're not going to get. Now, we may get a few blessings now and then, and we wonder, well, how did I get those? Maybe someone else was praying. But oh, that God would teach us the significance of these principles. The summary definition of petition is simply in four words. Each of these steps of prayer, we give a summary definition. Very, very simple. Nothing profound about this. A time to ask. So, we've gone through praise. That was the first step. And we're waiting on the Lord. And then we have a season of confessing our sins and praying the scriptures. All these different things. Watching, which is allowing the Holy Spirit to show us a deeper aspects of what we should be praying for. And then intercession when we're praying for others. Then we come to a time to ask for ourselves. Some more voices from the past. E. Stanley Jones, a great Methodist missionary and statesman, said, asking is the symbol of our desire. Some things God will not give until we want them enough to ask. An unknown writer, I believe it was in the book Kneeling We Triumph, which had no author's name on it, said, we are careful to ask with a beggar's humility, to seek with a servant's carefulness, and to knock with the confidence of a friend. You know that as a friend, if you knock on someone's door and they look through the little peephole or whatever and they see it's you, you get entry. And we're friends of the Lord. Now here is a prayer application in just three words, and again, very, very simple, because petition is the simplest act of prayer. It's to share personal needs. To share personal needs. I was fascinated one day by reading in the Psalms of how often the psalmist referred to himself in prayer in statements like, and I jotted just a few of these, guide me, teach me, comfort me, lead me, revive me, heal me, strengthen me, protect me, guard me, cleanse me, search me, focusing on himself. Now, really, we want it. Generally, we think we got to avoid putting too much attention on ourselves. That may be true, but God will honor us by answering prayers of our dependence on him for personal needs. Here's another voice from the past. Clarence Crawford said, do you want to take the sting out of trouble? Take it to God and pray it through. Don't just say, Lord, help me. But pray through the situation. And I like the way he says this. Analyze it. Take it apart. Bring it to God piece by piece. Verbalize to God the fact that you're hurting, you're in trouble, you're scared, you're in danger, or your world has fallen in upon you. How many have had at least one of those things happen to you in your life? Probably if I said how many in the last 48 hours, numbers of people could raise their hands. Praying specifically is so critical because it demonstrates that we really believe that God wants to answer our prayers. I remember Yonggi Cho, pastors the largest church in the whole world in one fellowship. Not just even, although they planted many, many hundreds of churches, but even in their congregation, the last I heard, it's probably 750,000 members in one central church. That's a big church. We think sometimes a church of 1,000 is big. 750,000. I don't know how many deacons he has now, but at one time I heard he had 12,000 deacons, which explains his prayer of 4 or 5 hours a day probably. I've had pastors that want to pull their hair out because they have 12 deacons and two or three of them are giving them trouble. But I had a unique privilege, if I could describe it that way, of being the youth pastor of a church in southern Wisconsin, just over the border from Chicago. When Yonggi Cho came to our church for a Sunday morning mission rally, and the part of the unique privilege was, he's known all over the world today as the pastor of the largest congregation in the world, but that was the very first trip he ever made to America. And our church was the very first church he ever spoke in America. And part of the privilege was, our pastor had something critical come up. And so I had the opportunity of driving him back about an hour's drive or so from where that church was to the Chicago O'Hare Airport, where he was going to speak somewhere else that night. And what I remember in him speaking through his very broken English, rather than through an interpreter, what I remember that morning was the faith that seemed to manifest itself in so many little testimonies. Like they had been for quite a while, a number of years, in a tent. That's where the church was. And I remember him describing how when they started the church with a handful of people, he asked God for 1,000 members a year. 1,000. Now, when you just have a little tiny group and you ask God for 1,000, that's a big request. And I remember him saying, the church is now 6 years old. And now we have 7,000 people. And everybody kind of clapped. And then he kind of interrupted the clapping. He said, no. He said, I've been asking God over and over these days, why would he give us 1,000 too many? And they were building a new church, and he took a ruler. He actually took a ruler and measured the biggest theater in town so that he could give the dimensions to the architect so the architect could build something at least 1 foot bigger on all four sides. And he had this sense of humor. But he described once in prayer, and this is really what I wanted to get to, he described in prayer how he had asked God, he really needed a bicycle. It was toward the conclusion of the Korean War, and he needed a bicycle. And one day he said, oh God, please, I ask you, give me a bicycle. And he said, the Lord said to him, what kind? He said he thought for a minute, and he had heard the name Schwinn. He had known that that was the best bicycle in America. So he said, God, I'd like a Schwinn bicycle. And the Lord said, what color? And he said, oh, God, my favorite color is yellow. I'd like a yellow Schwinn bicycle. And, you know, just a few days later, someone that he had befriended, someone he knew on this base, came up to him, and they were going back to America, and they said, and this guy said, you know, I was going through some of my things, and I have a bicycle. Wondered if you'd like to have a bicycle. He said, oh, I've been praying for a bicycle. He said, well, come over, and I'll give it to you. And, of course, when he got over there, what kind of bike do you think it was? It was a Schwinn. And what color? Yellow. And so I see this kind of very specific asking, and you know, that's why you then see the life of someone who prays 3 or 4 or 5 hours a day. And by the way, that's a calling and a discipline. It's extraordinary to do that. And I don't think we should ever just measure someone else's prayer length by thinking that if I pray that long, I'll have those same kind of answers. There's much more to it than that. In fact, some people can pray relatively brief prayers and still see extraordinary answers. However, it really takes time. The more we believe God, listen, the more we believe God answers prayer, the more we will pray. It's that simple. Here's petition, a life application. Now remember, the reason we call this practical prayer is we try to take each aspect or type of prayer in the Bible, and how would we live that out as a quality or aspect or manner of living. And this one took a little time, and I was thinking, how do we develop this kind of honesty in our communication? And this thought came to me, honestly express personal concerns. Now, what on earth do I mean by that? Well, seek open communication with others. Literally strive for open communication with others, especially family. I can tell you that very possibly the number one reason of the relationship I have with my wife of 45 years, the number one reason is being able to communicate and taking time to communicate and sitting down and sharing with one another. And this even with friends, it's something else. There's accountability that comes in expressing where we're at, what we're feeling with others. And so there's something very profound in this, that you take what you would do in the presence of God and you look at it, and how might I apply this in my daily living? So pray about that. Dr. David McIntyre said, and this is another voice from the past, and these are little extracts and quotes that have come out of my journey in reading what others have said about this subject. He said, we Christians may ask our Father for all that we need. Only let our desires be restrained and our prayers unselfish. The personal petitions contained in the Lord's Prayer are very modest: daily bread, forgiveness, and deliverance from sin's power. Yet these comprise all things that pertain to life and godliness. So we come now to the conclusion of this little overview of this aspect of prayer. And you can see on the back, I think the back of your guide is the circle of prayer, and up there on the screen you can see this circle of prayer. As we've gone through praise and waiting and confession and scripture praying and watching and intercession and now petition. And again, if you just devote 5 minutes or so to each of these as a discipline, at least for a certain length of time, to work out a meaningful, complete prayer time, our prayer time will be strengthened. I'll tell you something, it will also grow. Your prayer time will grow. And it'll become more and more important. And I guarantee you, when you see surveys, for example, of even Christians, on an average, watching, say, 5 hours to 7 hours of television every day or whatever idiotic number that may be, it's, you know that if we manage our time better, by the way, probably half of the TV programs we watch aren't worth watching. I mean, you can determine that by just watching them. All I'm saying is it's a matter of a discipline. And it can develop. It can develop. Now, where to next? Where to next? We conclude each of these aspects or steps of prayer with some thoughts, four ways to get started and keep going. And so we're going to share these four suggestions. And these are from the book, The Hour That Changes the World, but they're also in your notes here. And number one is begin your petition by asking the Holy Spirit to help you claim only those desires that will bring special honor to the Lord. Just think about it when we're asking for things. Number two, make a mental list of specific needs you have for that very day and offer each need to God. So it's give us this day our daily bread. In other words, my daily needs. Number three, enlarge a petition carefully, which means expand it. Taking time to explain to God why you desire an answer for that request. And then number four, frequently examine your motives for claiming a petition. Be certain they are pure in the sight of God. For example, I don't think anybody here falls in this category, but if the temptation is to pray for another wife, because you don't like your present wife, and God, just give me another one and find a convenient way to get rid of my present one. Well, that would not fall into a good biblical pattern. Rather, it would be, Lord, how can I love her into a relationship and bring her into a place of where she is fulfilled and set free, or whatever it may be? I think you understand what I'm getting at, is there are people that, I remember one hearing a pastor that left his wife, who actually said, for his church secretary, and actually said, well, the Bible says God will give us the desires of our heart. That's his promise. And I really desired my secretary. I mean, it was just absolute delusion being deceived. Totally, categorically deceived. Now, let's look at the ponder points. We conclude with these ponder points. They're really discussion points in a setting like this, or if you're in a small group watching this by video. Then you'll discuss this for as long a time as the leader leads you, and then we will pray about it. So here, it's in your worksheets. It's also on the screen. Discuss or ponder why you think God has ordained that his children need to ask for blessings when he easily could give us what we need without our asking. What biblical basis do you think Charles Spurgeon had for saying, whether we like it or not, asking is the rule of the kingdom? We'll talk about that in a moment. I will read the prayer point to you, though. Ask God very specifically for something personal that you feel is clearly in line with his will. And the rest of you, by the way, agree in the groups. Be as detailed as possible in asking for this specific need. In prayer, tell God what your basis is for believing this petition is in line with his will. Now, that's a mouthful. But I want you just to look at it while you're praying. Okay, let's talk about it. Just a few minutes. Turn, someone has to be first, so take a deep breath and speak all at the same time and then choose one. Let's do that now for a few minutes.